Welcome to Jobs in Tech. Monster Truckville. Welcome to Jobs in Check. Check. We're checking out the jobs in tech. Brad, what's going on? I just got to turn it over to you.
I love
what's going on the show today? What's happening in the world of technology?
Oh, there's lots going on as always, but didn't mean to interrupt you or cut you off or make you lose your train of thought.
Welcome to the truck rally.
So a little backstory, Andy. We actually had a guest on the show tell Bobby that he sounds like his voice is more like a Monster Truck Rally announcer. So I've kind of been giving him a little bit of grief
giving
ever
me some
since.
Crap about it.
So it's just a little inside joke.
I don't know if I've ever been to a Monster Truck Rally, but now I can envision it.
You're missing out. They're absolutely loud. They're beautiful.
Once they said it, it was like light bulb went off. It's like, whoa, okay, this is Bobby. Totally.
I miss my calling.
Maybe you could be a boxing announcer.
Oh, man, ooh, I would love to do like MMA. That would be fun.
That would be awesome, yeah.
And in this corner.
There you go.
I'm thinking maybe like I could start the day for the devs. Like, let's get ready to code. Like, and say, like,
let's get ready to code. Yeah.
Exactly. You got the idea.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it.
All right. Well,
we went off the rails really early here.
Really early.
I have that effect. Sorry. Right.
Kind of get bringing us back on track. So we do have Andy from Sports Recruit in I wouldn't say in studio, but as a guest today. Andy, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us about Sports Recruit?
Yeah, I've been here at Sports Recruits for about almost 2 years now. And previous to that, I've worked for multiple companies as an engineering manager or like a director level engineering leader, and both large and small. So like startups as well as, larger companies up to like 55,000 people and stuff. So it's been an interesting ride. I've really enjoyed it here at Sports Recruits. Some of your questions will go over some of my things that are near and dear to my heart as an engineer. But I've had a lot of fun, like, you know, learning and growing with engineering teams that I've been a part of. So
that's awesome.
Excited to be here.
Yeah, super cool.
Well, thank you for just jumping in with us and rolling with us. So we appreciate that. So that definitely speaks to me a little bit about your character, how fun and enjoyable it is to work with you.
Yeah,
we love it. We love the show. We love getting to talk to people that are in the thick of it in the technology world and hiring and figuring out, you know, what's working and cool stuff that's going on in their company. With that said, we'd like to know what would you say, how are you using technology to be a disruptor with the company? Just roughly.
Yeah, so I think this started basically when we launched, and I wasn't here obviously back then, but Sports Recruits launched back in 2009. There really wasn't anything out there solving the problem that we really seek to solve. And it's similar. It's a network problem, similar to like that of LinkedIn. It's very similar. It's almost like a dating site. You know, we're trying to match athletes up with college coaches and programs and find good matches between those two sides of the things. And you know, really kind of how we're being a disruptor in our industry. Like, there's three things that come to mind. We have this feature called roster needs. So that basically is a matching, you know, kind of algorithm for matching up the right people and finding a suitable fit between those athletes and the college programs. Also, like on the video side of things, that's one of our main focuses right now, is that we're really trying to leverage integrations with third-party video partners. So, increasing the amount of video on the platform. We're also leveraging panoramic video because for like sports like soccer, lacrosse, et cetera, like it's can be fairly costly to, create videos of those games or even like a tournament, because you have to have a video person there with a fairly high-tech piece of machinery the entire time, right? And then, lastly, like in the video front, like we're doing like automated and manual video game video breakdowns. And really all of this is we're trying to drive down the cost of video. And that will really assist us with our recruiting goals, because that's one of the main ways that college coaches review athletes these days, especially post-COVID. So kind of a last item. Like we're in the event space, we also have been doing like it's this pretty typical like technology play where we're replacing like paper information with digital information, so schedules, but player information, team information. But then we also added, you know, again, another pretty standard play, like added some features to that for like analytical tools for coaches, as well as like just streamlining the process for event staff and, you know, whatnot to like create events and stuff. So yeah, there's a few different things there.
I just have to ask, is this mainly like college level? Is that, or is there pro stuff too? I'm just wondering if you're putting Jerry Maguire out of business. Is that how it works?
No, we're not putting Jerry Maguire out of business yet. I don't know.
Yeah. There eventually. Was, you heard it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I did try out for minor league baseball at one time. Didn't make it on a team, but like, no, they have no fear of like us taking them out. So
very good. Good to know.
Yeah, no, this is just for high school athletes and like college coaches, mainly in the United States. So, yeah.
So how would you say you guys? I know disruption and innovation kind of go together, but we like to ask that question. How would you say you guys are being innovative?
You know, I would say it's kind of contextual innovation, and because we kind of follow kind of a boring stack mentality, we try to keep the pretty standard plays, and we try to leverage those to create like really good results on the product side. So, you know, we actually have a fairly monolithic architecture, and there's a lot of people that hate on monolithic architectures, but for, you know, the right size of team, like you can really have a lot of efficiencies there. But we also maintain, like through good coding practices, the capability to like extract out microservices. You know, Uncle Bob and like Martin Fowler have talked about this extensively, about how it's generally best to start with like that in most circumstances. You know, there's always the variables there of like different circumstances, but to start with that microservice and then extract out, or not microservice, but start with a monolith and like extract out the microservices later. So I think another thing, like how we're being innovative, is kind of on the code side. Is just we're really driving how changeable our software is, trying to finding that right trade-off between coupling and decoupling, and that kind of allows us to pivot faster and more quickly than our competitors. So that's I think that's another thing I would highlight there. And so like one comment I'd make is generally industry standard code is pretty bad. And we're trying not to write industry standard code.
All right. So speaking of code, let's unpack. Tell us a little bit about the team. Tell us who takes care of it? What does the team look like? What are the dynamics? Let's unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah. So we have three product teams and one ops team. So the product team organization is a fairly standard, like agile setup where we have design, product, and QA all coming together to work collaboratively to bring about like the, you know, features as well as, you know, tasks that need to be completed. And we try to get everyone involved as early as possible. And we've been driving that earlier and earlier because I think us, like many other organizations, have felt the pain of having people involved, you know, like say design or engineering, like involved so late in the conversation that, you know, a particular set of designs or a product feature isn't really capable of being completed. So I would say that we have a Kanban workflow with sprinkles of extreme programming. And we switched from a Scrum workflow where we handled where we had like, you know, the general two-week sprints, but we found like we had a lot of rollover and tasks of differing priorities were being completed. And for a company of our size, we found that we had more flexibility as well as you know, just general overall priorities being a better priorities, like prioritization, like with the Kanban. So okay. That's kind of where we do have like a 1 week cadence that we adhere to, though,
that you try to follow. I gotcha.
Yeah
That's awesome. So let's I guess kind of nerd out a little bit more. Help me understand, like, what is your tech stack? What are you guys, a Java shop, or are you C#? Let's unpack what you guys are.
So we this is a little bit of a different stack than I've been used to, but we have like Laravel, PHP, oh, wow. but then also Vue.js on the front end. Huh. And we're using Laravel Inertia specifically, which is kind of a hybrid front end app. We also like have a storybook component library and Tailwind for CSS and React Native for our mobile apps. And then we definitely have some legacy stuff in different parts of the system that we're trying to eliminate, like everybody.
So. Right. So how much, I don't know, maybe I'm asking something that might be off limits, but help me understand. I mean, how much legacy code is left and what are you trying to weed out of that?
Yeah, we definitely have a substantial amount of it, and we have like a roadmap. We get about 25% of the product roadmap to tackle, not only tech debt, you know, the legacy part of it, but also the like what we call app health, so proactive measures to keep the like issues from coming up in the future as well. So that's how we tend to characterize it. So we have you know, a substantial amount of work to do with that, even with that budget. You know, probably we'll probably still be working on it for a couple of years to eliminate all of it, but right. You know, that's just the way it is. But
so yeah. what programming language was the old legacy stack in? Was it still in Laravel, or is it something completely different?
It was in CodeIgniter, so ooh. It's a horrible PHP. Well, it's good for the day, I guess, but it's a pretty bad
right.
PHP framework, like completely untestable, tightly coupled code. Like it was just a mess. So
wow, that's crazy. So yeah. Help me understand what makes your company stand out and would want, you know, candidates to apply. I mean, what's that it factor that you guys have?
Yeah, kind of tell us the culture a little bit. Yeah. What are people looking for there?
The thing that really drew me in when I joined, and the thing that I still say for, is really kind of the devotion to quality aspect of the role. Like everyone from the COO down realized that we needed to double down on quality. And I'll steal a Robert C. Martin quote here, and he says the only way to go fast is to go well. And they were hitting the exact opposite of that because they were just shipping stuff as fast as they could without an eye towards quality. And, you know, they really wanted to up their quality game as far as like testing, you know, good design patterns, just even like good team work habits. And it's really been paying dividends over like the last year. So and it's been from everybody, from design, product, QA and engineering, like to make that happen.
Awesome.
I guess another thing. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
No. Yeah. I just want to say I love it that you said when I joined. You didn't say when I was hired, when I started right. the job. You said when I joined. I thought that was really yeah. interesting because a join thing sounds more like you're a part of a group, absolutely. Not just got a job. Is that how you feel? I'm just curious.
Yeah, you know, especially with my team, this is probably very cliche, but it's definitely how I feel. Like I might be in a leadership position, but I don't feel like I have to, you know, it's I'm part of like this group of people who want to get better, and like we want to strive to like craft really you know, good products and everything, and that's kind of what intrinsically motivates me, and I think them as well. So
I love it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and those are the little nuggets that we love, because that's what sets you guys apart, is you understand that it's not just fluff. I mean, we can hear it from you that this is actually something tried and true, and you believe, and that's what's really going to resonate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been at one other place where I felt this as well. They were a larger organization, so we didn't, there was more red tape, but, right. you know, this has been one of the best places where I worked.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
So, what do you look for in a candidate? Help me understand that. So when somebody wants to apply and let's say they send over their resume, what makes a candidate stand out to you? What's that it factor that they have to have for you?
Yeah, I think like most places that I've been at, it's a combination of multiple things. So everybody kind of goes back to that personality fit, right? There's for us, there has to be like a level of humility, respect, and kind of a love of creating And we really want to see that somebody's kind of excited to join our team and what we're doing. I'd rather take somebody that's excited and, you know, with less knowledge about the specific tools or practices than and then somebody who's really experienced, who's basically saying, you know, give me a paycheck, right?
Right.
And I will grace you with my presence. But, you know, we also we are a sports organization, so there is a little bit of like a performance orientation there too. So, but that's not just throughput. It's also like the quality and teamwork aspect. So it's more of a holistic perspective. We don't just have like one metric to like that we use lines of code or PRs completed or tickets completed or whatever. But we kind of look at the holistic perspective of a dev when we do evaluations and stuff. I guess like the other thing that I really look for as well is like knowledge and application of that knowledge. So a lot of people in the industry, I feel like they look for tools, languages, and frameworks as far as like the people's knowledge and application of those. But I really like to also look for like paradigms and practices. So, you know, their knowledge of like OO functional, you know, like as well as, you know, as far as like in the practice side, like TDD, communication debugging, et cetera, you know, I really want to see them be able to have those other two legs of the stool, because if you know a particular set of tools or something, that's good, but you need to be able to apply them in a quality manner, but then also know why you're applying them.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And that's awesome, because I mean, not a lot of companies, like you said, they're looking more just for the skills, but you're looking for the application and how somebody would actually use it, which I think sets that apart and makes you, you know, find that quality person who you're looking for.
Yeah.
With that said, we like to ask, what's kind of the interview process? What happens here? What you know, what is there 20,000 interviews or there one? I mean, just kind of, you know, it's the gamut. We get on the show, we have people, they'll interview 6-7 times and we're mm-hmm. like, holy crap, that seems like excessive.
Quite a bit, right?
But maybe what's it look like for you guys? How do you find the perfect person?
So this last interview cycle, we had more interviews than we generally have had here. So we used 4 this last go around, and we hired 2 different candidates. And we I have like a screening call that we don't have like a recruiter in-house, and we haven't been using external recruiters for a while. So I usually do a screening call, which is quite a bit of time, you know, going through phone screens. But then we also sent out a code challenge right after that screen, because that weeded out quite a few candidates. And then we moved into a code challenge review and a technical, which generally that would be the final or second to final interview previously, but we added what I call a pairing interview. And really it's just a code kata that gets progressively harder as I work with the person through it. Like I expect like interview jitters and stuff when people are going into something like this. So I'm not trying to trip them or stump them. So I'll actually help them through the problem sometimes if they, if it looks like they're getting stuck. But that one, interestingly, we had a candidate get through the code challenge review and the technical interview, and we thought they were great. And when they got to that pairing interview, they just fell flat on their face and didn't even know how to code. We actually think that they had been coached, or they were just using like ChatGPT or something during that process, because it was an absolute junior level of code. We were all astounded.
Really?
So we're now kind of requiring that step.
You know, I think that's smart. I mean, I was going to kind of tie into this and kind of throw you a little bit of a curveball, but how do you think AI is going to impact the interview process for you? I mean, do you think in this situation, I mean, do you think it's better that you found it out now and that way you don't have to go through that? And do you think you're going to see more of that?
I expect we're going to see an arms race, so to speak, in this space, because I saw so many spam resumes. It was 96% plus spam resumes coming through Indeed and LinkedIn. And when I say spam, I'm kind of putting a lot of different things under the umbrella. People with skill sets that didn't match up to the job description, but also a lot of spam coming in from foreign countries when we, you know, explicitly had that
US
on the
only.
Job description. And even then, like some of the job the resumes were so good, they got on a screen with me and You know, like it was very obvious that they were not based in the United States, like just 1 second into the interview. So it was, I think that we're going to have an increase in like technology on the, you know, on the hiring side.
The screening side.
To kind of combat that. But right now it just means more work, unfortunately. Like recruiters are definitely safe with their jobs right now.
Absolutely. Cool. So do you want to ask the next one, Bobby, or do you want me to?
You go ahead. Go ahead.
So how do you think your technology is going to change in the future? I mean, I know we talked, you're trying to move.
Oh, we're at that question already.
That's why I asked.
I love that. You know me. That's why you ask, because I love that question.
Absolutely. So how do you think it's going to change in the future? I mean, help me understand. I know you're moving away from a legacy technology, but help me understand what do you think the vision is for sports recruits, and with the technology, where do you think you're going to take it?
Yeah, in the foreseeable future, like our largest emphasis is going to be on leveraging various tools, including like machine learning, to like do like video breakdowns. And also like improving that like recommendation engine and other things to really drive forward like our video adoption across the platform. From a more like ops or systems perspective, like we're also going to be extracting out additional microservices, because we've definitely hit some performance bottlenecks in different areas of our code. And that's going to like really necessitate like the, you know, the reduction in like the tech debt and kind of the legacy systems as well. So all three of those are kind of coupled together.
Okay. I don't know if you can answer this, but I mean, help me understand, what's the goal to accomplish with video? I mean, you said in terms of breaking the film down, are you going to be able to make it so that coaches can go through the video with their teams and kind of break down certain scenarios or plays and use your platform for that? Or help me understand that.
They definitely could use it for that, but that's probably not going to be a main emphasis, because we're really trying to help the college coach find all of the clips in, say, a game video for a certain player, because they want to see how that player performed. The other thing too, and we ran some experiments where we like did automatic breakdowns, just kind of looking for jersey numbers on individuals, which is a pretty complex problem.
Absolutely.
But also on the athlete side, we want to help them make their highlight reel. So, you know, if you're an athlete, you're going to put together a highlight reel and send it to or share it with a college coach that you're interested in. So, that's kind of like, that's one of the main, you know, technology spearheads that we're going to have to do here.
I don't know if you can answer this one or even if I should bring it up, but I'm going to anyways. Who would you say your major competitors are?
Huddle is one of them.
Okay.
I would say that they're kind of our main competitor out there. They're really big in the football space, and they're making inroads in others. They haven't really haven't defined their recruiting platform yet as much as we have ours defined, but since they have such a huge video platform, you know, obviously they're going to be a fairly significant competitor. So
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing some awesome things to kind of stay ahead of them and make good roads to continue to put college athletes forward and to help the coaches find their next talent.
All right. This is a question that I like
absolutely.
A lot. So we've asked you a lot about your company, about what's going on and hiring and all that stuff. But we want to know from you, just from your space, where you're at, what do you think of overall technology? Where do you think the overall technology is going? What's happening in the whole world?
Where do you
not
see
just
it?
Your company, but what do you, you know, we kind of just like to get some prophecies from different folks. What do you think?
Boots on the ground, so to speak, to help us understand where they think technology is going.
Yeah.
So you remember Back to the Future and where they kind of thought we'd be in, what was it, year 2015 or something like that?
Hoverboards. Still don't got them, man. We still don't got them.
Same with the hover cars. I am always very, you know, like skeptical of prognostications and, you know, that sort of thing. So I think we don't quite know, but I think we can make the general assertion that all aspects of development, but I kind of seem to think like particularly web development will continue to get more automated and like easier for kind of the masses to access. So driving costs down, like that's generally the way like markets work, and generally way efficiency is driven. So as engineers, like I think we're really going to have to leverage those principles, kind of patterns and practices that are generally more or less timeless to kind of inform how we're going to change and to adapt to like what the future changes future brings us.
Do you think as we get more automation, it's going to be harder for developers to stand out?
I think that's definitely a potential. You know, like if you look at how I think it'll probably change the skill set. You know, when we went from horses to cars, like somebody who could drive a team, like they had basically no utility as somebody who could drive a car, right? So I think we could definitely see some huge skill requirement shifts. But that being said, we still have COBOL programmers out there, and we still have people that are using punch card type languages out there. And
that's true.
You know, like who knows how long it'll hang on for.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really thought about it in that regard. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, there are still COBOL developers out there. So there is some stuff that just will not die. So it'll be interesting to see for sure.
Yeah. Well, Andy, thank you so much for being on the show. Any last words, Brad?
Absolutely. So where can people go and apply or look into more about sports recruits? Help us with that information, Andy.
Yeah, you can go onto our LinkedIn page. It'd probably be the easiest spot to find like our jobs and careers page. Like sports recruits itself, just sportsrecruits.com.
So. Awesome.
Sportsrecruits.com.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, cool. This was good. Yeah, always was good. Fun. Always a pleasure to meet folks, shakers and movers that are out there, boots on the ground, doing the work.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Andy, for being on the show.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Awesome.
Awesome.
We'll wrap it up. Well, you know what time it is, people. It's time to go. Thank you for listening to Jobs.